Locally sourced news and info to drive you home.
Local news is like the most important stuff to me.
Steph Lucas on KID News Radio 106.3 and 92.1.
Welcome back to the Steph Lucas Show. Really excited to talk to our next guest and get some context here. So what's happening is some big healthcare providers on the western side of the state, like St. Luke's Health System, Trinity Health, St. Alphonsus Primary Health Medical Group, announced all employees would be required to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So this is a huge debate, of course, on all levels of social media. We also had Lieutenant Governor Janice McGeehan writing a letter saying that the legislature, should be called back into session to address this. And then we have lobbyist groups like the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry saying that the legislature should not be called back into session because it's a private business and they should be able to do what they want to do. So there's a lot of different angles here. So who we have on the phone right now is Representative Brent Crane. Welcome to the show, Representative Crane. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Steph. Thank you for the invitation and excited to talk to my friends and folks that live over in the eastern side of the state.
Absolutely. I'm really excited you called in today. And one of the questions I have for you, or rather I'd like to set the context for, is that you and some other lawmakers like Senator Todd Lakey, Senator Jeff Agenbrod, basically the lawmakers from Nampa, wrote a letter on Monday saying that you would be in favor of a legislative session to address these vaccinations. You said, "We believe the right to refuse invasive medical procedures, including vaccinations, is paramount to the interest of employers, employees, and the freedom of the individual in almost all situations," correct?
Yeah, but what the letter said is that we would support legislation.
Okay.
If legislation was in front of us, that we would vote for legislation to protect those employees' rights.
Okay.
My colleagues that signed that letter do not support going into a special session.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, hey, if this was a regular session, all of us would support that. So to make that delineation clear, mm-hmm. For your listeners as well as for my colleagues that I serve with, I want to be clear on that. We all support the legislation, mm-hmm. Not all support going back to a special session. However, I do. I think that we should go into a special session.
Okay.
You know, healthcare workers were heroes throughout this whole COVID pandemic that hit a little over a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, less than 1 year later, we're telling these heroes of ours, you will either take a vaccine that has not even been approved by the FDA, or if you don't take that vaccine, you're going to lose your job. I'm sorry, that's not the Idaho way. I'm mm-hmm. a small business owner on the western side of the state. There is no way I would walk into my employees and say, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go get this vaccine. And if you don't get it, don't show up for work tomorrow because you're not going to have a job.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry, that is poor business practices. I don't care what level of business or what kind of business you're in. Your job is to make sure that you can deliver the services to your customers. And your number one customer is your employees. And you better make sure you're taking care of your employees. The last thing we need is a bunch of healthcare workers walking out of our hospitals over here saying, fine, if that's the way you want it, then we're not going to go to work. And that's not the way to get business done here in the state of Idaho. So I'm optimistic that we can get both parties together,
mm-hmm.
That cooler heads will prevail, and we can come up with a solution that will work for the healthcare workers and work for the hospital CEOs to be able to deliver the critical services that those healthcare workers provide for our state.
Okay. Let's talk about what's kind of the elephant in the room. I want to know your take on this. There's lots of people saying flat out, these are private businesses. You have no reason or no right to tell private businesses what they can and cannot mandate their employees to do. So how do you address that?
I'm a private business owner.
Mm-hmm.
The government does insert itself into private business. I'm going to give you some examples. 40-hour work week. We say you cannot work your employees over 40 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, you're going to compensate them with overtime. It is illegal to tell female employees you will be on, you're going to take contraceptives because we don't want you to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go in and begin to mandate things to your employees You can't discriminate your employees based on their religion, their gender, their sex. The government has inserted itself, and where it does insert itself at times is to protect the rights of the employees. And so I think that the rights of the employees are at risk here, and I think that it's a place that if business is not going to do the right thing, and that then government's going to have to step forward and say, look, you've crossed the line here. You can't be doing this to your employees. This is not even an FDA approved drug. And so for you to mandate something to these healthcare workers that's not been approved by the FDA is crazy. Look, let's not forget these healthcare workers have gone to school, most of them for at least 4 years, in what field? The field of medicine. And they don't want to take it. So maybe we ought to listen to those frontline workers or let them make the decision as to what they think is best for their own body.
Okay, let's talk about if there were legislation, what would it involve? Would it say employers are flat out not allowed to require vaccines? Or would it say, as some have suggested, the legislation could say, well, if you require employees to get these vaccines, then your company has to cover the liability.
That's actually why we need to go into session, from my opinion, because how you craft it is important. Mm-hmm. There was a House bill that was crafted and passed the House that dealt with the vaccine issue, but really it dealt with businesses that would require vaccines if they contracted with the state of Idaho and required their employees to be vaccinated. The state of Idaho would not recognize the contract with that business. So it didn't go far enough. It really didn't solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to get the hospital CEOs, representation from the nurses and doctors, get representation from small business. The folks that are opposing us going back into special session or dealing with this is big business. It's not small business. I think you'd be surprised that your small business owners take very, very good care of their employees and are concerned about that employee-employer relationship. At the same time, as a small business owner, we don't like the government coming in and telling us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's exactly why we need to be in session, is that we can get like minds around the table and say, look, what can we do to make this work for everybody involved? On every side of the issue, someone's going to have to give up a little bit to make it work. But I've been there 15 years. We have worked through some very complex issues.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not too complex, but we cannot come up with a solution.
Okay.
I'm confident if we get there, we can come up with a solution that works.
All right. Let's talk about the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. They're being called by the Idaho Press an influential business lobbying group that represents the state's largest businesses. They sent out that letter, I believe, yesterday saying not to reconvene the legislature, and that these are private employers and they have their right to mandate whatever they want. They said they sent the letter out to all legislators, so I'm assuming you got a copy. What did you think about that? What was your take on it?
That is their opinion.
Okay.
And in this debate, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and then we need to solve the problem. And
okay.
I think that there is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
The nurses, the doctors, the healthcare workers have raised this, that there is an issue. We need to solve it. I respect their opinion. I simply disagree with their opinion. I think that this is a bridge too far to tell individuals, hey, look, you have to take a drug that hasn't been approved even yet by the FDA. And there are side effects to this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
They would argue, look, we're requiring these healthcare workers to get the flu vaccine or TB vaccine. That is true. And so let's talk about a solution and how we can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the exemptions that they have for religious exemptions. They're very laborious.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove why it's a tenet of your faith. You have to articulate why it's a deeply, sincerely held religious belief. We don't do that on other issues of freedom of religion. So, for example, we have passed legislation, the freedom of conscience, that if a pharmacist has an objection to issuing an abortifacient, they can say, I'm sorry, that's against my religious belief, therefore I will not issue that abortifacient. So we have gone through these complex issues before. I'm confident we can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever people start drawing, hard and fast lines in the sand and saying, you will do this or else you will lose your job, that's not a good position to be to solve a problem. That's only making the problem worse. And in the case of IACI, I understand those hospital guys sit on their board. They're going to take that position. But I would urge them to get to the table, and let's see if we can come up with a reasonable solution. There's smart guys in that room, mm-hmm. and I've worked with them a lot before, and I'm confident that we can come up with a solution.
Okay. They also said in the letter that this could be expanding regulations. So I know Idaho's really big on rolling back red tape and government regulations. How do you respond to the accusation that this is expanding regulations on how to operate businesses?
It is. You can't deny that it's not. Mm-hmm. It is another government regulation on a business in an attempt to protect an employee's rights. However, it's like when I talked with the Idaho Hospital Association's government affairs director last week, I said, look, you guys can fix this issue without legislation. You can just simply say, if someone says, hey, I object to it for religious reasons, mm-hmm. that you honor that objection. It's that simple. That's what I'm saying. Government doesn't have to get involved and pass legislation here if employers will choose to do the right thing.
Okay.
And so that's why I'm confident that we can come up with a solution that doesn't have to involve government. But sometimes you have to use the pressure of passing legislation in order to get guys to the negotiating table and to get something done. I have urged them. I've urged the governor's office as well. And the Speaker of the House. Let's come up with a non-legislative solution. Let these guys do the right thing. And in my opinion, don't make the religious exemption a laborious one. Make it, if they just say have a religious exemption, fine, no problem. And mm-hmm. and let them keep their job. And if they do that, I think that we're there.
Okay. So as far as the angle you're coming at, it seems like it's about protecting people's rights, protecting their kind of bodily autonomy sort of thing. Do you think any legislators would use the excuse this is going to cause a healthcare worker shortage come from that angle?
They could. I would argue the other as well. If you look at the estimates that some of the CEOs of these hospitals say, between 20% and 30% of their employees do not have a vaccine. Well, if those employees simply decide to not show up for work, you've got a healthcare shortage, or a healthcare worker shortage, and a serious problem. Secondly, what if they unionize?
Right.
That would have a in my opinion, a very crippling effect on the healthcare community, mm-hmm. if they decide to unionize and say we're going to go on strike because our rights are being violated. So again, that knife can cut both ways, mm-hmm. And you could have a healthcare shortage either way. That's why you work with your employees. When employees in my business come and say, Brent, we've got a problem, mm-hmm. I don't say, you know, look, it's either my way or there's the door. I don't know about anybody else, but I know in the Treasure Valley, we have a labor shortage right now, period. Every industry is trying to hire.
Everywhere.
Why would you do this to your employees? You shouldn't. It's not the way to treat people at all. Respect their right to say, hey, look, I don't want to take that vaccine. Respect it and move on. And I find it interesting that all three of these healthcare entities colluded and mm-hmm. announced on the exact same day. Because I think they knew if St. Al's made this announcement on Monday, employees of St. Al's would start looking to go get a job at St. Luke's. They knew that would happen. And so this is a colluded, coordinated effort to say, look, we're going to do this and we're going to shove this off on all healthcare workers.
Okay.
Bad form, bad way to go. I think they need to own it. I think they need to apologize to the workers and say, let's sit down and work through this and make it work for to address our concerns as hospital CEOs. And how we can make this work for our employees.
You know, that's actually a really good point. It's not just private healthcare or private businesses saying, hey, we're a private business, we can do what they want. You brought up the fact that they colluded to kind of push this all together. So that's not private business operating as private business. That's
It wasn't, and it caused issues with other large businesses. So there's large international businesses, and you can, you know, the Simplots of the world, the Microns, Melaleuca down in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
If these guys have individuals that operate in different countries, they're going to have to deal with this issue in their own different businesses of how they're going to work with their employees that have to go to countries that require a vaccine or that require a vaccine passport. Mm-hmm. Let those businesses work it out with their employees. How can we accommodate you? How can we make this work so that we can keep you on as a valuable employee, but still meet our customers' needs in those other foreign countries? What you don't do is you don't collude with everybody in your industry and say, let's go make press releases today and announce this is what we're doing or our people are going to, you know, be out of a job.
Right.
Again, it's not the Idaho way. And I can tell you right now, as a business owner and as a business leader, that goes against every business principal. You do not lead that way whatsoever. That is poor leadership. And when you have to begin to lead in that direction, you've already lost your ability to lead. You should be able to, you know, go to your employees and say, hey, here's a potential problem. Deal them in. How can we come up with a solution that works for both sides? That's what great leaders do, and then they lead, and their people will follow them wherever they choose to take them.
Okay, great answer. I'm appreciating all this information on my fact-finding mission here, so I appreciate your arguments. Another argument that's come up is, and people banter this about all the time, people will say, well, it's a right-to-work state, and they leave it at that. Can you explain a little bit more about right-to-work state, how that's involved with this?
Well, so what they're talking about is the ability, it's more, probably a better way to say it, is we are an at-will employer state.
Right.
Meaning that you can fire an employee for any reason or without cause. And so we had a discussion a few years ago, I want to say 2014, 15, somewhere along there, about adding the works to protect LGBT workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would sit those workers, those individuals down in my office and said, you understand, Idaho is an at-will state.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that you're not going to get fired if you're concerned your boss would fire you for your sexual preference, I said, they don't have to fire you for your sexual preference.
Mm-hmm.
They could just simply say, you're fired. Really? I said, yeah, that's the way Idaho is. It's an at-will state. And so they were shocked to learn that passing this isn't necessarily going to protect them. Again, in those instances, let those businesses sit down with their employees and work through those situations with their employees and come up with something that works for both. And I think that's the solution here. But that's what it means that we're an at-will state. You do have a right to work. We do have that in our state as well, and that deals with the regards to picketing. If you work for a company that has a union and they choose to strike, you still have a right to go to work, and they cannot impede your ability to go to your job.
I see.
That's the difference between at-will and right to work, and we have both of those in the state of Idaho.
I see. Well, I'm glad you cleared that up. There's quite a bit of information in the court of social media about at-will employment state, right to work, and how that involves unions. So thanks for making that distinction. One more question. I really appreciate so much of your time. I believe it's Bruce Skog. I hope I got his last name right.
You got it right.
He said to the Associated Press that he's getting calls from medical professionals worried that they won't be able to keep their job. So, of course, you're not going to say who it is, but have people reached out to you in the medical industry?
100% they have reached out to me, whether it's been through social media, whether it's been through email, phone call, see people at church, in the grocery stores. I had a dad that coached his own basketball last year, texting me. Mm-hmm. They're concerned. And I can't imagine if I have an objection to taking this vaccine, if my employer were to say to me, Brent, you will take this or else you're going to lose your job come September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
That would strike fear into my heart, and that's what it's done to these healthcare workers. Again, like I say, this is not what you learn in Leadership 101. Mm-hmm. This is not what good leaders do. This is not what great business leaders do. This is what poor leadership does.
Mm-hmm.
And you have got to treat your employees right. You have got to communicate with your leaders and with your workers and your employees, and you have got to make sure that their interests can be addressed. At the same time, you've got to express your concerns as a business owner or a business leader as to why you're heading down this path. When you fail to communicate to your employees what your vision is, where you're going, and how you can get there, and how we can do it together, you've lost. And we have a failure of leadership from the healthcare community on this issue.
Okay. Representative Crane, thank you so much for adding a lot more clarity to the situation. I appreciate it. I appreciate your insight as a lawmaker and as a business owner. Thank you so much. And we're going to keep an eye on this story on KID. I appreciate you being on the show today.
You bet. Anytime. And thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Anytime. That is Representative Brent Crane. He and other lawmakers from Nampa saying they will support legislation that will make it so employees don't have to get vaccines to continue to work at these large healthcare providers. So thanks so much to him for being on the show. More on the way.